Shalom, אנחנו בשיעור הכנה
לכנס המדבר. We'll be beginning with text from the Desert Convention of 2019, Building a Common Deficiency, lesson number 4, a covenant. You can watch the lesson on cup.tv, and you can also write us questions there, and some related to the lesson may be asked here during the lesson. So, the Desert Convention, Building a Common Deficiency, lesson number 4, on the subject of the covenant. And we'll continue with excerpt 6 by Abash from the article, What is Making a Covenant in the Work? As long as one has not been awarded permanent faith, there must be ascents and descents. It follows that there could be a time when the love between them cools. For this reason, now, in the beginning of his work, he takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven to make a covenant, so that whether or not the body agrees to be a servant of the Creator, he takes upon himself not to change a thing. Instead, he will say, I spoke once, and I will not change. Instead, I will go above reason, as I have taken upon myself when making the covenant in the beginning of the work. We'll read again. As long as one has not been awarded with permanent faith, there must be ascents and descents. It follows that there could be a time when the love between them cools, and for this reason, now, in the beginning of his work, he takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven to make a covenant, so that whether or not the body agrees to be a servant of the Creator, he takes upon himself not to change a thing. Instead, he will say, I spoke once, and I will not change. Instead, I will go above reason, as I have taken upon myself when making the covenant in the beginning of the work.
What does he take upon himself, this person, in the beginning of the work? What does a person need to take upon himself in the beginning of the work? As he says, this is what I'm signing a covenant for.
Please.
One takes upon himself in the beginning of the work to just annul himself and throw himself into the center of the tent, the center of the group. He guarantees and promises himself and them that he's with them heart and soul. That's the meaning.
At the beginning of the work, when you bring a person to a group where the light shines for him, the surrounding light, and the point in the heart awakens, he obligates that he will always return to, there's no one else besides him, and tie bind everything that is happening around him to the source.
Like in this excerpt, in the beginning, the ascents and descents don't matter, or how you identify an ascent or a descent. In any case, you have to return to the point of the covenant that you agreed about beforehand.
It's like a person is accepting upon himself that he's kind of cutting himself halfways. He doesn't care. On one hand, he doesn't care what happens to me. Ascents, descents, I'm not even taking any calculations about that. On the other hand, I'm constantly asking and concerned for the ten, always for them.
It's like when you get married in the Ketubah, there is this clause where the man promises not to flee the battle, but there, you know, you have good days where there's love and you're willing to do everything, but the days when it cools down, there this commitment is supposed to hold him in place.
I think that what a person says he's signing a covenant over is everything but leave. That no matter what happens to me, no matter what occurs, I don't leave this way, this path. And then all kinds of states come, and all kinds of discernments, And all of a sudden he understands it's not just him and the creator, but there's friends here. He needs to work with them, nullify. And there's all kinds of things that he didn't even imagine at first. But he made a covenant at the beginning. We're not leaving. And that's how you go through it.
Yes, he actually understands that he must tie himself to the group in such a way where it will secure him. So that with all the ascents and descents and the resistance of the will to receive and its objections, whatever happens, he won't come out of it.
Yes, he holds on to the group like that wooden plank, because the moment he doesn't hold on, he could be under the water and not even notice where he is, and the group is his compass.
One commits, pledges to never let go of the work with the friends, and he understands that the group is his only plank that can save him in that direction.
Making this covenant is this obligation to constantly hold on to the friends and to associate reality to the Creator. And with that we begin, with that we continue, it has to be all along the way, and that's what maintains the covenant. How does he check that he's in a covenant? How does a person examine whether he is in making that covenant? And that he's keeping that covenant? How does he check that?
The examination is always the same. Am I annulling myself? Every moment he checks himself to see if he's engaged with himself right now or giving the 10, giving to the 10, loving himself or loving the friends. And this you do every moment. It's a constant scrutiny of where I am.
Do I go by the feelings and thoughts that come to me, or am I loyal to the path, loyal to the friends, and no matter what comes to me, I observe what I promised to the friends?
You can check every moment. When we signed this covenant, when we agreed to it, it was...
Rav, in what does the Creator help us keep this covenant? What is the action of the Creator that by that we can strengthen our covenant?
I think that if we make a covenant, then from that moment on, there's only resistance to that thing, because the heart cools down and you need to ask for the friends, which is against your nature. So here you have need of the Creator, His help. And this is also the measure of the extent to which you're in the act or not.
The Creator helps by not sending disturbances to a person that he can't withstand. Because he would send a disturbance that a person can't withstand, he would definitely breach that covenant.
Yes, and the disruptions he does send, that's his help. It forces a person to rise above it. And this he attains only by asking for strength from the Creator through the group, throwing himself even deeper into the group, into what we call the center of the ten. And from that he gets the strength to rise above all states, and with every state that he transcends, that makes his covenant stronger.
Just like the friend said, the Creator helps us by increasing the resistance and leads you to a state in which you each time need more and are more dependent on the group.
Yes, the work is on the will to receive, so that we don't remain stuck in the state we're in, where each one thinks of himself.
There's that sentence that whoever the Creator loves, he proves them. And so the same thing here. When we sign this covenant, the Creator starts playing with us. You signed? Now let's start seeing how much you can withstand it. I'm going to put you through all kinds of processes and states, and let's see if you can hold on to it, or are you going to fall and drop?
Yes, in accordance with the burdening of the heart, the hardening of the heart, the Creator opens it up for the person every time and enables him to deal with it and to prove that the only thing I want in life is adhesion with the Creator.
Rav, meaning the Creator gives us the burdening of the heart, descents, which is what we call them, so that we will strengthen ourselves in the group and complement this descent through the connection between us, which is considered that we're strengthening the covenant with Him, with the Creator, by additional connection between us in the group. Is that clear? No, we can continue.
Excerpt 7 from Baal HaSulam, letter 2. I shall advise you to evoke within you fear of the coolness of the love between us. Although the intellect denies such a depiction, think for yourself. If there is a tactic by which to increase the love and one does not increase it, that too is considered a flaw. It is like a person who gives a great gift to his friend. The love that appears in his heart during the act is not like the love that remains in the heart after the fact. Rather, it gradually wanes each day until the blessing of the love can be entirely forgotten. Thus, the receiver of the gift must find a tactic every day to make it new in his eyes each day. This is all our work, to display love between us each and every day, just as upon receiving, meaning to increase and multiply the intellect with many additions to the core, until the additional blessings of now will be touching our senses like the primary gift at first. This requires great tactics set up for the time of need. Again, I shall advise you to evoke within you fear of the coolness of the love between us. Although the intellect denies such a depiction, think for yourself. If there is a tactic by which to increase love and one does not increase it, that too is considered a flaw. It is like a person who gives a great gift to his friend. The love that appears in his heart during the act is not like the love that remains in the heart after the act. Rather, it gradually wanes each day until the blessing of the love can be entirely forgotten. Thus, the receiver of the gift must find a tactic every day to make it new in his eyes each day. And this is all our work, to display love between us each and every day, just as upon receiving, meaning to increase and multiply the intellect with many additions to the core, until the additional blessings of now will be touching our senses like the primary gift at first. This requires great tactics set up for the time of need.
Why, if we read the sources and think on our own, we won't be able to make more love for the Creator, but rather only if we will be with friends, in the group of friends, together with them. Only then we can talk about love, that it's truly about true love that we have for the Creator to a certain extent, and to increase that. Why can't we receive love for the Creator and moreover grow it unless it is from our engagement in the society. And not in study or by sitting in the corner somewhere alone. From that, we won't get love for the Creator. Why? Let's go.
We need to remember that the Creator has no form, no image, God forbid. Rather, the Creator is the correct form of connection revealed by the work between us. That is what we call the Creator. And so, ultimately, I need to have love to be connected to that thing, meaning the special kind of relationship we build in the ten. It's not something I can do by myself. A connection between us can exist only when there is a connection between us, nowhere else. If I'm alone by myself, it's difficult to do.
Because all the actions except for connection between us are above the ego, which increases in us, are egotistical. And only in the connection between us, when a person nullifies himself before the friends, that is when he can come together with them to the quality of bestowal.
And to come to the quality of bestowal means to have similar qualities. We need to come to resemble that quality. So you need someone else for that. Who can we apply it on? So we need other people.
And the Creator is the quality of bestowal. We do this. This quality is only revealed between the friends, just as the friends say. We need to create that same equivalence between us here.
And that's why you need the correct attitude towards the friends in order to feel that you're the least of them, and you need to somehow, by some power, to attach to them and integrate with the quality that exists in them and not in you, the quality of bestowal.
Questions? There are no questions about this? Okay, let's continue.
Excerpt 8 from letter 24 by the Rabash. You must always stand guard, all day and all night, when you feel a state of day, or when you feel a state of night. We say to the Creator, yours is the day, and yours is also the night. Thus, the night as well, meaning the darkness of the night, comes from the Creator to man's favor as well. As it is written, day to day utters speech, and night to night expresses knowledge. It follows that you must awaken the hearts of the friends until the flame rises by itself. As our sages said about it, when you light up the candles, by that you will be rewarded with awakening the love of the Creator upon us.
What is our work in the time that's called night? What is the difference between it, this work, and the work during the time that's called day? And what filling do we have in a state called a day and the state called night? Please. What is our work at night and day? And what fulfillment do we get at night and day in those states?
Night.
Spiritual night and spiritual day, of course. That's clear, yes?
At night, our work is to increase the importance between us, the importance of the goal, the importance of the Creator. To the point where the actual importance feels like light for us. By that, we essentially bring the day. And the day is a state where we do have importance. And there, our work is essentially to, like an old man, to search for more deficiencies, to find how to magnify it even further. So what's the second part? The fulfillment. I think the fulfillment at night is the ability to ask for greatness. When, even though it's night, you're still able to think of the Creator and ask for His greatness. You haven't disconnected entirely. And during the day, the fulfillment, it's a question. It's not simple. It's too sweet. I don't know. The friends will continue.
It seems to me that the work doesn't change. What changes is the state, the feeling that you feel with day and night. But if we're talking about aiming towards bestowal, it seems to me like the work is the same work. And the feeling is also the same. Actually, you're not chasing after the feeling, you're chasing after the importance and the connection between us and the Creator.
We sing of this in the morning to speak praise, and at night faith. So now we have this state where our friends are beginning to assemble with the Congress coming up, and we're beginning to wake up to what's going to happen, and specifically in the time where we don't appreciate what's happening around us, the fact that we have a group and a teacher and the opportunities that we have every day, then a true power begins to work, where the mind isn't involved. It's something higher.
Rav, what does it mean to make the night like day, where the darkness shall shine as the light of day? Please.
It means that despite it being a state of night, it's dark and a person doesn't have importance, as Chaim said, then especially in that, he sees an opportunity granted by the Creator. Meaning he doesn't follow the way he feels, saying it's darkness, but rather he goes into the group, into the friends, and he wants to turn this into day.
Yes, the night is for the will to receive. That's where you feel the night, the lack of filling, the fears. And specifically from that place to invert it like light is in the extent of our annulment towards the group and the need for adherence to the Creator is what gives you the ability to bring forth light into the night. Questions? None? Nice. Meaning everything is understood. Very good. Let's go on.
Excerpt 9 from letter 18 by Bala Sulam. First thing in the morning, when he rises from his sleep, he should sanctify the first moment with dvekut, or adhesion, with the Creator, and pour out his heart to the Creator to keep him throughout the 24 hours of the day, so that no idle thought will come into his mind, and he will not consider it impossible or above nature. Indeed, it is the image of nature that makes an iron partition, and one should cancel nature's partitions that he feels. Rather, first, he must believe that nature's partitions do not cut him off from the Creator. Afterwards, he should pray from the bottom of his heart, even for something that is above his natural desire. Understand this always, even when forms that are not of holiness traverse you, and they will instantly stop when you remember. See that you pour out your heart, that henceforth the Creator will save you from cessations of adhesion with Him. Gradually, your heart will grow accustomed to the Creator and will yearn to adhere to Him in truth, and the Lord's desire will succeed by you.
How do we sort, arrange such a prayer in the group? For adhesion in the Creator. How do we arrange in the group a prayer for adhesion for the Creator? External conditions, internal conditions, and the prayer itself. Please.
It starts with what we did together Friday. We sat together and talked about the greatness of the friends and how the friends give us the power, strength, and it was the greatness of the friend and the ten and the society were all very palpably felt in the meeting. And from there, you take energy for the rest of the week to continue carrying out these actions.
I would say that the essence here is not to ask for oneself, but for the friends. For the address to be disconnected from any personal benefit.
It's not a natural desire, and we need to achieve such a desire. And for that, we have such actions. We need to practice acts of bestowal to try to help each other and to aspire to wanting to want, and then the prayer will come.
Yes, external conditions that we close upon ourselves, the framework and ways that we don't have a moment for ourselves to breathe for ourselves, and internal conditions that we're constantly seeking how to tighten the relations between us until we feel 100% Creator between us, and constantly ask for the Creator no matter what's happening.
The role of the group is to remind me that the Creator is the only force working, operating. He motivated us, He gathered us, He sustains the connection between us, He gives us opportunities to discover Him as the only force at work in reality.
I would say in two words, the greatness of the Creator. To constantly work on that. That's where we give each other our voots. That's what we need from one another. If we have the greatness of the Creator in a total manner, we're in the end of correction.
And in respect to that, we'll raise our prayer, something that will come out of us. We'll want to increase His importance and greatness constantly, and we'll feel that we don't have the power to do that, and from that, the prayer will be born.
We would want for the Creator not to be vacant from this perception of ours, and by this we also help each other by reminding each other, and as an example as well, and by asking that we will have the strength to do it for one another.
I agree with that. Also, because of that, it wasn't so clear to me in the text, because he says that as soon as he wakes up, he should devote all of these moments to the Creator. And so, and the friends talked about how we need to do this together between us, the importance between us, and from there, everyone will have the strength for it. So, it's unclear to me how you can do it, like, singularly, individually.
Our prayer needs to constantly be for adhesion with the Creator. That our days will be filled with the Creator, no matter what's sorrowing you in your will to receive, whatever burdenings, you will agree with it and just want connection with Him. Rav, questions? Yes.
I awaken the dawn, and not the dawn awakens me.
Yes.
What does it mean? In the previous question, you asked, what is our work at day and at night?
This doesn't speak about you. This speaks of King David. You, if you can awaken the dawn, that's good. Meaning, where you awaken the deficiency, you awaken the light. The dawn is also as shachar in Hebrew, darkness, and it's also as a lack, and it's also as the light that arrives, the pillar of dawn, as we call it. And so it's the light. And it's the same thing there. One depends on the other. What is it called? That I awaken the deficiency for bestowal, for chesed, for the light of chasadim. So the darkness dissipates because I don't feel that it's dark. What does it mean that it's dark? I'm seeing in my will to receive that I have nothing, and what will I have, and for what am I, and for what, and so on. That's the feeling of darkness, or something like that, yes? And how can I dissipate this darkness? Only by saying that it doesn't matter to me what state I'll be in. I want to be in chasadim, where I don't lack a thing in any given state. Only for it to bring contentment to the Creator from me. And what contentment? Whereas in all the states that come to me, I need to be happy about that and be thankful about it. And then I feel that it's not darkness anymore. It's an opportunity for me to bestow. What am I bestowing? The fact that I don't need anything else but to be in the point of adhesion, the smallest point of dvikut. No more than that. Yes.
And where's the 10 in this?
Of course, this is with the 10 together. Otherwise, how do I arrange my address to the Creator? How do I even talk about dvikut, about adhesion? It's all in the 10. We're not even talking about that not being there. They already aim towards that to begin with. It's clear.
How does one arrange his address to the Creator through the 10? How does he do it internally? How does he build that line?
There is no other Creator but that which is in the center of the 10, which is as a result of me and my friends. How could you otherwise depict the Creator and aim yourself towards him? Through the connection with the friends. Then you come out. Then you're shooting through the sights and this mechanism, we should say, it's all only through that. How can you even locate the Creator? You inside need to disconnect yourself from your ego. How do you disconnect from this and from this and from this and from this? That when you're connecting, you slowly, slowly disconnect from your ego, and then you can be before this concept called the Creator, pure bestowal. We need to do exercises with this. Yes.
I have a few questions about the covenant. So, first, with whom does one make a covenant?
A person makes a covenant with the quality of bestowal called the Creator.
And what is the covenant about? What does the person pledge to?
A person obligates through his kilim, meaning through the 10, otherwise there is no covenant. There is no covenant where I am under the control of Pharaoh. There's no one to do a covenant with. I am not free. Meaning, if I feel that I go out of Pharaoh, can leave Pharaoh, the conditions of leaving Pharaoh, then I come from being enslavement by Pharaoh to the enslavement of the Creator. There's nothing in the middle, only the decision. Either this control or that control, one or the other. So to leave the control of Pharaoh and go into the control of the Creator can be done only by me making the covenant. I make the covenant between me, the group, and the Creator. As we are together and we want to be connected in that one point of unity. The covenant is unification, connection. Yes.
The last question was, how can a person maintain the covenant, keep it, when he's under the rule of Pharaoh? When he's under the control of Pharaoh, there's no covenant. That's what I heard.
It's true, but he tries, even though he's under the control of Pharaoh, to feel oneself as free of his control, from under his control, by coming to chasadim. To be under the control of the Creator is already the light of Chokhmah. To rid oneself from the control of the Creator, from a Pharaoh is to enter under the control of Chassadim. There is freedom by me disconnecting from Pharaoh, and there's freedom by me controlling the whole my whole will to receive, which is called Pharaoh, which I control. I hand it over to the Creator for him to control. Okay? Wonderful. Oh, what's going on there? Well, Coleman.
So I made a covenant with the Ten and the Creator to have this relationship of bestowal, and in a second I was thrown away from the covenant. So does it mean that I ruined the covenant? I'm not keeping it?
Why? First of all, it doesn't matter to me that I destroyed it or someone else destroyed it. It all eventually comes from there's none else besides him. The Creator arranged it such that the previous state disappears so that you will renew it on a higher degree.
So, if I have the power, at that moment I have to invest it in the renewal of the covenant with the Ten of the Creator.
Certainly, that's called Israel, the Light, and the Creator are one. That's the essence of the covenant. Well, who's there?
A covenant is a decision, or is it a prayer?
Covenant is a connection between Israel and our Father in Heaven.
But how do you reach it? Through decision or prayer?
Through the connection with the friends. In the center of the friends, you discover the connection with the Creator, and then you can be certain that for now, for the time being, you, which is called Israel, Israel and the Creator, are one. And what does that mean? Is that you're connecting to the friends, which is by the reforming light. That's why it's called Oraita, the light. So Israel, Oraita, and the Creator, meaning Israel, the light, and the Creator, are one. That's called the covenant. Meaning that's the beginning of the path, and each and every stage along the path, and the end of all corrections. It is all the covenant. Yes.
The love between the friends, is that a condition for the covenant, or is it a result?
No, it's the condition for the covenant with the Creator. Nice. Slowly. We're getting used to this, to these discernments, to the words. Everything's are kind of working out here. Ask. It's clear. Okay, let's go. What? There's someone there. New York.
Shomim? Lo shomim.
Do we hear you? We don't hear you, Leo.
Oded, lo shomim.
Oded, we don't hear you.
Lo.
No.
No, ma lasot. Tivdeku.
Well, what can we do? Check. Maybe it's with us. I don't know. Well, let's see now. If it's not New York, let's see. Maybe Almata? Where's my chubby guy? We don't hear either. Then that's already Dion. What's going on? Okay. Dion is... What is the moon called towards Earth? It's like a satellite. Satellite number 8 for Jupiter is called Dion. Yes? As much as I remember. Check it. Well, Jerusalem, maybe, yes, we can hear. We also don't hear? No. We don't hear. Then it's something here, probably. Okay, let's continue if so. Let's go to number 10.
Excerpt 10 from the article What is Peace in the Work by the Abash. It is written as the advantage of light from within darkness. In other words, it is impossible to receive light if he has no lack and need for the light. For this reason, when a person sees that the nations of the world in him object to the Creator, and he cannot tolerate the enemy of Israel within him, he becomes jealous for his God and does not look at any descent he has. And he does what he can and cries out to the Creator to help him, to be able to defeat the wicked ones within him. By this he overcomes and does not flee the battle. At that time, the Creator gives him the covenant. That is, he makes a covenant with the Creator that there will be peace between him and the Creator. By receiving a gift from the Creator, which is the vessels of bestowal. This is regarded as making the covenant, which is the klipa, the shell, called will to receive for oneself. And instead of the foreskin, the Creator gives him vessels of bestowal. And by this, they make a covenant, meaning peace. Again. It is written, as the advantage of light from within darkness. In other words, it is impossible to receive light if he has no lack and need for the light. For this reason, when a person sees that the nations of the world in him object to the Creator, and he cannot tolerate the enemy of Israel within him, he then becomes jealous for his God, and does not look at any descent he has. And he does what he can, and cries out to the Creator to help him, be able to defeat the wicked ones within him. By this, he overcomes and does not flee the battle. At that time, the Creator gives him the covenant. That is, he makes a covenant with the Creator that there will be peace between him and the Creator. By receiving a gift from the Creator, which is the vessels of bestowal. This is regarded as making the covenant, which is the klipa, or shell, called the will to receive for himself. And instead of the foreskin, the Creator gives him vessels of bestowal. And by this, they make a covenant, meaning peace.
When the darkness comes, some of the people run away. We see how they leave. Some of the people manage to decipher correctly the state and say that darkness is that I don't have a desire to bestow. Meaning it's not that I want to know, to understand, to feel. In mind and heart, meaning for me to have a revelation, but rather that upon the darkness that I now feel, where I have nothing, this is an opportunity not to fill myself in feeling and thoughts, but rather to ask for the vessels of bestowal. What does this mean? Specifically in a state where I have nothing to want to just bestow. Because that's the most convenient state to be in bestowal. It's the lowest state. It's zero. I don't need to overcome my vessels of bestowal, which are great, because there's nothing in them. I don't need to truly abstain from anything. I don't have anything. I don't have nothing. I have zero darkness. There's nothing to concede. The Creator gave me an opportunity, which is called darkness, where I don't feel anything, I don't want anything, where I truly feel as a zero and nothing belongs or is worth anything, where I'm specifically in such a state. The most convenient is state to ask for vessels of bestowal. There is no better state, easier state for requesting bestowal, because there's nothing there. So even to bestow in order to receive, where I will have vitality from that. Even in such a manner, nevertheless, I'm already somewhat able to advance a little towards bestowal. I can't live in the vessels of reception where it's darkness and zero and everything is disastrous. Disappointments and everything. Let me live in the vessels of bestowal. This is why we need to really respect the darkness. There shall be evening and there shall be morning. Where if we ask for vessels of bestowal, the quality of bestowal, chasadim, for us to have that as the light of day, as have that that will to fill us. Only the force of bestowal, no more than that. Then after the evening, we have, and there was morning, and there was evening. And then we'll have one day. Otherwise, no. This is why we need to connect all the darkness and all the nights and all the darknesses together and to demand upon them the light of bestowal. Let me be above that. I don't want to change the state itself. Let this darkness remain. Above it, I want to be in the light of bestowal. Because in the light of bestowal, I am not in darkness already. I can bestow. I can operate. After this action where we do the corrections of night, which is by Abba Ve'ima, the Zivug of midnight, then we come to the morning, where we are already correcting ourselves in vessels of bestowal, in the guards of night, and can take upon ourselves already even the light of day, which comes to us in clothing in the light of chasadim. And that's how we continue. This is why what will then happen is the advantage of light from the darkness. In addition, because the advantage is the addition of darkness, in addition to it, it will be in the same direction of bestowal. It's not that the light of day will spread out the darkness. No, it won't spread it out. It will clothe within the chasadim, and thus the darkness will shine as light. Talk about this, please, between you. Well, however you can, each help the others. Out of order, just in a way that something comes out of this discussion altogether.
It's felt that without having a 10, this structure that is strong and formidable, alive, bestowing. Everything that Rav talked about is completely unrealistic. But when you have the 10, then suddenly within the darkness you have one is suddenly between two things. He's not addicted to the darkness. He has something else to lean on, the strength of the 10.
The main thing is to go out of the vessels of reception and my self-benefit in the relations between us in the 10. And the state of darkness is its assistance to help us with those empty vessels.
Let's see darkness as an opportunity, as exercises that we receive, which the Creator puts us through, for first the sake of a certain result. And then we'll all be like the Creator.
If I were to see the darkness as an opportunity to ask for vessels of bestowal, it would be good. Because at the moment, the darkness just rejects us from the friends, from the goal, to ask for them. So all of a sudden we come to a state where we are asking for vessels of bestowal. There needs to be a factor in the middle of the ten, it seems to me.
It's as if a person needs to withstand the darkness as much as possible. In a moment before he despairs completely, he needs to shout out for help. That's how it seems to me. Also from the story of Egypt, they knew it's the creator operating Pharaoh and there's none else besides him. It's the state they received. It's a kind of descent and they need to be in exile to the point where they couldn't withstand it anymore. And then they turn, they ask for help.
It's correct that darkness is an opportunity to ask for vessels of bestowal, because now the quality of bestowal doesn't shine for me, the will to receive is not tempted, and so on. But we should not forget that the goal is nevertheless to receive filling, to receive light, because if we don't receive that, we're not bringing contentment to the Creator eventually, because He wants to delight His creatures. And this darkness helps us disconnect from the ego and to move to bestowal. But the goal is within the vessels of bestowal and then in the reception vessels to bring him contentment, because that's what brings him contentment.
How do we relate to the day as merely an addition? And that the most important for us is the light of chassadim, and the addition that we receive is the light of chokhmah. Because the mainstay is the katnut, and the gadlut is only an addition. That's enough. Continue.
We're going to read excerpt number 11 from the portion Acharei Mot Zohar, portion item number 66. And you, the friends who are here, as you were in fondness and love before, henceforth you will also not part until the Creator rejoices with you and summons peace upon you. And by your merit, there will be peace in the world, as it is written, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, let me say, let peace be in you.
How can we explain the impregnation of the souls, meaning that we've assembled here at this time, in this place, in this world, together, and so we've achieved a certain connection, as if it's by chance, as if... How can we explain this according to what we understand from the wisdom of Kabbalah? What is this special gathering that we have in the ten? In the tens. Please. More succinctly, from the side of the Creator who wants to sustain the covenant, to establish the covenant. So what is His work here?
I don't know if I'm in the right direction, but they say that only one soul was created. That soul was shattered into pieces, into shattered shards that are in the corporeal bodies that we occupy. And the Creator collects those sparks, those souls, and adheres them back to that initial state.
Yes, many, many causes. You can call it just a random occurrence. But Rabash, with his article, it begins, we have gathered, we've assembled. It's not that we have assembled by ourselves, but rather something assembled us, pushed us here, and he said, the keys are inside. So, this assembly, there's something very special about it, especially in our society. There's a very special force at work here.
And all our corporeal eyes, this combination is completely delusional. But as far as the Creator who gathered us to connect our points in the heart by those desires that are ready for that stage, it is completely clear, and when we try and attempt to do this, it even becomes clearer.
And it seems to me that on behalf of the Creator, on his side, the calculus is very simple. There is a general will to receive, and now you need to see what parts of it can now transcend all of the burdenings that come upon them to be in adhesion and over everything. So accordingly, he awakens us. So now we have the role. And yeah, whatever burdening of the heart comes, the main thing is that we want adhesion. Love. Questions? Good. Great. No questions. Yes.
Rav, in our 10, we are really thankful for this amazing workshop. We came to the conclusion that not only is the night the opportunity, the amazing opportunity to bring contentment to the Creator, but moreover, that the day 2 is actually a preparation for the state of the night where we can truly expect those rare opportunities to bring contentment to the Creator. And now a question, Rav. You wrote in the article, he shall express every day what he says, and night by night he will experience his reason. What is there, some kind of collection of things?
When you connect the night together, between them there's room for light, and this is Dat.
How do we connect the nights? Because every night is a different state completely.
No, this is the birth of the vessels. From this you learn of the actions of the Creator, not from the days, but specifically from the nights. The revelation of the kelim, of the vessels, that's the main thing. So, in respect to the created being, the nights are much more important, or how to put it, it's the place of work. This is, mostly studying at night, learning at night. It's, the scrutiny of the vessels, the correction of the vessels, the preparation of the vessels. The day is just filling it. When you've established, corrected the vessel, then your correction shines within it, is revealed within it. And that is called day. So all of the work is only according to the preparation at night, where darkness shines as the day, and then it's called days. Meaning there's no day unless you've completed the corrections of the night. Then they become the day. There's no such thing as a day. Because in respect to the will to receive, your will to receive, the sun is darkness, and in respect to your will to bestow, when you are in order to bestow with the light of Chassadim, then the sun clothes in the light of Chassadim, and then it means that there is light. We'll grow accustomed to these things. We'll learn about the slander of the moon, it's called. It's all the same. There is no moon and sun. It's all the same. The two great lights which become one. One light. Yes. Who else? But it's worthwhile to remember that all of the work is at night, and the result of what you did at night is revealed, and it's called the day. Yes.
This is a question that we got from the friends from Turkey. They're asking, what does it mean to evoke the deficiency, and how can we do this?
We constantly need to awaken the deficiency. We have no other work but to awaken the deficiency to the extent and in a way where we can turn to the Creator to present this lack to Him like on a platter and to request a correction upon it. That's our work. So the Creator awakens the lack, and we receive that lack, and we process it in the connection between us, and we present it to Him. Or if He doesn't give us this awaken this lack, then we're like an old man searching. We search for the lack, And also we present it to him, and we ask of him to process this lack, to help us process the lack correctly. And this is called the preparation for prayer, which has to be properly established. And then we have the man, and we receive the result, the outcome, which is corrected vessels. So, in fact, all of our work is only to reveal the correct lack and to address the Creator with it. Nothing else besides. We give him contentment by requesting a correction for that lack. The more you annoy the Creator, Najim, the more he is delighted by you. So you need to understand that you can turn to him only if you have something in your hand. Otherwise, he doesn't answer, he doesn't hear. It's according to the laws, the rules of the system. Right?
No.
Why only the same people always asking?
Rav, who are we asking for the kli of bestowal for?
In order to bestow contentment to the Creator.
No, who receives it? The kli of bestowal.
The group. What is the question? The group receives the strength, and it can now be connected in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator, meaning to come closer to the Creator who is within it in a concealed form, in order to come closer to him so that he can be revealed more and more until he is finally revealed.
And what is... Well, okay, I got a little confused. Thank you very much.
Well, but the question was all right. Yes, your neighbor. Who's there?
How do you check if the Creator is participating in the covenant?
If your request is correct, then it's certain that he'll participate, because this is the law of nature. The Creator is the general force that fills the whole of reality, the power of bestowal, and to the extent that you address him with the lack for his power, so that the power of bestowal appears in your own vessels, you receive it. And you don't need to ask from him to beg. Later we'll learn what begging means. It's on our side. It's not on the side of the Creator. He's 100% prepared, willing. Once your will equates with his will, immediately the connection opens. All of the begging, the pleading, the requests, it's only in order to process our lack so that it's compatible with his desire to give. But more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to feed him. So, yes, give it to Amikam.
Rav, we hear vessels of bestowal, and the first thing that comes to my mind is that I'm going in some place and I'm bestowing to the trees, to the rivers, to the friends, as if everything will be good. But we see that the Creator is actually bestowing also in other ways.
Just a moment. First of all, I don't understand what you're talking about at all.
Vessels of bestowal. We make a covenant. We cut the foreskin, the desire to receive itself, and that's probably not simple. And the reward is that we receive for that vessels of bestowal.
We cannot bestow the vessels of bestowal upon anyone. No, vessels of bestowal, that means the will to receive filled with the light of chassadim. And with the light of chassadim, you cannot bestow anything. It's called katnut, or smallness. Dalgalta ve'enayim.
And the next step
It's not the next step. The continuation later is that gadlut, greatness, will come, the vessels of reception. You will be able to add foreign, external vessels of bestowal, of reception to yourself, and then to bestow through your achap, to them, to those external vessels. Otherwise, your hap will not open.
And we learned that specifically in Katnut, we acquire the greatest kelim, the greatest vessels of, specifically in that Katnut.
I don't understand what you're on about.
After all, if we were to, let's say, skip over that stage where in the darkness we're longing and asking and begging and all those things that happen specifically in the darkness, then these vessels would be very small at the time of Gadlut, meaning...
I completely don't understand what you're talking about. Speak in the language of Kabbalah, not sentimental words.
In the language of Kabbalah, the achap of the upper that we...
That's it, achap of the upper one. What next?
We need to attain the achap of the upper. It's gadlut. We're attaining it in this katnut that...
Incorrect. In Katnut, you don't gain any achap. You're forbidden from using the achap. When you've gained your own Katnut, smallness, you begin from your own Katnut to turn through your achap, which is in the form of Galgalta and Naim, with vessels of bestowal only, and you want to bestow to others. And to the extent that you reveal them the lack, or reveal the lack for them, your achap opens and it joins your Galgalta Enaim, and you ask the Creator to give power to your achap, so in order to correct, to take care of what you've gained, which is the external vessels.
That was the question in the beginning, that matter of the will to bestow to the friends. With the Creator, He bestows also in the form of good, but He also bestows in the way of bad. And we need to attain from...
I don't understand that. I hear heresy.
Why is it heresy here? If we're seeing this darkness that is perceived to us as woe on us, it's like...
Darkness as an opportunity for light, an opportunity for the vessels of bestowal.
That's what I'm asking. In that matter, what should my intention be upon, where also if I am bestowing darkness on the friends...
What darkness do you bestow upon the friends?
I am the opposite of smiling them and the opposite of running and paying for something.
Let's say that's darkness, okay?
So in some manner, if I were to intend for that behavior, or specifically, or not necessarily specifically, but that behavior too will do good for the friends.
No. How can you awaken them by doing that? Only with good things, only with good examples.
But there's no equivalent of form, meaning I only in the day with them, I'm not in night with them. I know I'm a pain in the you know what, but
no, you're just not very wise. I'm sorry to say. Why don't you read what's written in the book?
Actually, the books I read.
Show me a book where it's written that you have to radiate darkness to the friends. No, I'm not. I don't accept anything else. Where is it written?
I'm saying it's written that if you will be with me like this, it's like the reward and punishment stage. You'll be with me like this, I'll be like that with you.
This the Creator says, and you need to understand it also, but why do you take this upon yourself?
I'm not taking it upon myself. My question is, because I want good, I want for everyone to smile and to do all that.
I'm sorry, but I'm old already, and I don't have the patience. I'm sorry. I see that we keep repeating the same thing. I hope maybe something would change after a few years, but no, nothing has changed. So, on to the next part of the lesson. Do you have anything else to ask about what we went through? Yes, there, at the end.
In the beginning of the lesson, you said that when darkness comes, only when I start to connect with the friends, the pipes open up.
Yes.
But maybe I can bring an example where all day long yesterday I was in such a feeling, I completely forgot to ask, meaning to ask for the quality of bissel. I wasn't even in that place. I wasn't capable of coming to it. But only when I come to listen, I read the verses, I'm hearing the commentary, and also there's a mitigation to it.
That's why it's a lesson. So,
but what? And the question is, how do I, when we're in such states, how do we work with that where it comes to you? You don't have to wait for the lesson. I want to work with it already. And
ask for a connection with the friends and always be that way. What can I tell you?
I think that I'm in the connection with the friends, but I...
So why don't you feel... Why is there a difference between a lesson and the day outside of the lesson? Sometimes you come, sometimes you don't.
No, I'm here every day.
All right, so excuse me. So, when you're not here, between the lessons, ask to be connected, that the society will think of you, that you will think of them. Commit to it. That's a part of the covenant. Ask the Creator to give this to you. If you ask to be connected to the friends, it's certain that you'll receive it from Him. A connection with Him, that's depends. He's, you know, how to say it. How do you say about him? Jealous.
He's envious. He's
standoffish. All sorts of names. It's as if he doesn't want, he doesn't allow, so to speak. But with the friends, immediately you'll receive. Immediately. Just ask. Try it. Who else? That's it. I see that you're full of Torah already. Well, so continue. Next part.
We're going to move to the next part of the